Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I greet you from Atlanta, Georgia. I have my co-host.
And I'm here with you. Good evening and welcome to another special edition because it is Black History Month and a month of love. But Hot Topics from the Soul continues on because of the fact there's always hot topics to talk about.
Absolutely. I'm so delighted to be here. I'm out of my element. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'll be home next week doing the show. And we have some special guests tonight. But it is Black History Month, Dr. J. So do you have some nuggets to share with our listening audience?
You know, when we think about Black History Month, most of us go back to think about the founder of Black History Month, Carter G. Woodson. And he was a man who fought, who stood up, who recognized the fact that there is no history without Black history. And at first, you know, it was only a week. I mean, that's what they allowed it to be, a week. But it's not because they fully allowed it. It's because of Dr. Woodson's persistency to make sure that the voices of our history was no longer erased. Isn't it funny that here we are in 2022 and we're looking at legislation, even in this state of Florida, where the governors and different ones do not want the real history of America, racial history, taught? But it would be a travesty for that to not happen. When we look at Black history is world history. And we have no further to look, if you would, is back in the day. Let's start with just people like Nelson Mandela. The late, great Nelson Mandela, all those ones. Say, hold up, that's South Africa, but it's still Black history because of so many things that he dealt with there, we have dealt with in America. But the rise of Nelson Mandela is so important. From July of 1918 into 2013, he lived with us, but we know what he did because of the fact of his refusal. His refusal to allow apartheid to just continue to rob us. So we understand he led the anti-apartheid revolutionary political leader, and he was a philanthropist. But even greater than that, he was committed to seeing change. Even behind prison bars, he was committed to change. And how did he do it? He beat the sentence, he lived out the sentence, but he led the revolution and brought an end to the apartheid as we knew it. You know, being arrested in 1962, basically for conspiring to overthrow the state, he never lost hope. And so there's a quote that oftentimes that Nelson Mandela quote, is a quote that you and I know is really by Marion Williamson when he talks about the fact, our deepest fear. And so he used that same quote, and that is what helped him even through his time of incarceration, is that he understood about our deepest fear. So when we talk about Black history, we are strong, we are powerful, because we refuse to allow our fears to conquer our faith. That's who we are as Black people. We refuse to allow our fear to be, our fears to conquer our faith. And whether we're talking about Nelson Mandela, whether we're talking about Benjamin Banneker, whether we're talking about any of the great pioneers of our time, we're talking about people who understood that fear will never overtake their faith. As a matter of fact, they understood the fact that with their faith, that there was nothing impossible for them. So we salute the Nelson Mandelas. We salute the contributions of Blacks all over. We salute the contributions not only in athletics, because they have to give us athletics because it's obvious. But when we think about inventors, whether we're talking about Madam C.J. Walker, you know, the first woman, Black woman millionaire, whether we're talking about different ones who have contributed, we have to understand that Black history is absolutely our history. It is the world's history. And guess what? America would not be America without it.
Amen to that, Dr. J. Thank you so much for sharing those nuggets with for people that don't know a little bit about our history. And Nelson Mandela is certainly one that needs to be recognized and acknowledged for his accomplishments and his stance.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited about tonight's show. I have my bestie on and her husband. You know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks regarding relationships, and we talked about love in stages. and we had some of the kings talk for the last 2 weeks. And I thought it was important to bring a couple forward. So I reached out to my bestie, Shirley Carter Powell, and I said, hey, you want to join the show tonight? And she was like, what time is it?
But so, she didn't say no.
Yeah, I told her. So we talked a couple of nights ago, and she agreed to join in. Her husband, Dwayne Powell, is on. So we're going to bring them on right now to join us.
Absolutely.
Hello, Shirley and Dwayne Powell. How are you?
Hello.
Now, a little bit of Black History Month coming up, Shirley. I know you just got a position in Michigan. You want to share with the audience what that is?
Well, I was just sworn in on Valentine's of all days as for the state of Michigan and the city of Lansing as an arts and culture commissioner. I've served on the mayor's commission for the last 18 months, and then the city decided to do arts and culture, and I was selected as one of the ones to move forward on that commission. So now I will be helping the city out as far as what arts and more about culture, too. And being that I'm already in the entertainment, so it, you know, I kind of slid right into that position.
Absolutely. That was strategic and God appointed.
Yes, it was.
And well deserved. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you know, our last couple of shows, we've been talking about relationships, and we had the men talk the last 2 weeks about their expectations in a relationship and, you know, what they look for, what they feel would make a perfect relationship and marriage. So I thought it would be important for you and Dwayne to be on the show to talk as a married couple, you know, starting this journey that you've embarked on and being professional business owners, etc., what that looks like as far as your relationship is, because people, they always like, I want to get married. You know, they always want to talk about they want to get married, but, you know, what happens after the vows? What happens after the butterflies? What happens after all the dust settles? Everybody went back to their house. You done spent all this money on the wedding and everything was beautiful. What happens after that? How do you pick up the pieces and move on after you've created a shift?
I would like to speak on that. One of the things about it after the vows, you have to understand that the wedding is just a ceremony. It's the marriage. That's where the work starts. So it's nice, you know, so, and, you know, basically in life, we work and then celebrate. But in marriage, you celebrate and then you get to work because it's a job. It's not a job like a 9-to-5. It's a 24/7. And being that it's 24/7, the love that you put into it, it's not something that you want to say, well, I have to do it, otherwise I don't get paid or I don't do this. You put it in because of the love that you have in your heart for that other person. But first you have to have a commitment to Christ. You can't just commit to the man or the man commit to the woman. Your first commitment is to Christ. And if you keep him first, then the rest of it comes second. I know when I met Dwayne, I told him I already had a man and his name was Jesus Christ. And I said, if you want to fit in somewhere in there, then maybe we can talk and work this out. But it took me a while to get to that point to even bring that to him.
Yeah.
You know, I had a little push from my bestie saying, girl, you better go. Because I was like, I'm not getting married again because I had already been married, you know,
a lot.
But you know what? I never got married to get divorced, though.
Right.
Absolutely. That was the thing about it. Divorce was never on the forefront. It was about working in my relationship. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, because I wouldn't be with Dwayne now, that they wasn't willing to put in the work. And I knew it had to be work from the beginning. And I was willing to work through whatever obstacles that was in our lives. But unfortunately, my partners, it was more like a trial and error for them, I guess. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But my whole ultimate goal is everyone deserves to be happy. And I love
being there. How important is it to have a relationship coach? Because, you know, there are people that get counseling on a consistent basis, and they go through the counseling, and it's individual, and then it's together, but somehow or another, it never just meshes. So what do you think the difference is in counseling and a relationship coach?
Well, in counseling, one of the things is that you're working on more the mental part of it, of someone's what causes you, what deep secrets or something you may have in counseling. Where in a relationship, you're with the relationship coach, then you're working on just that, the relationship, because each person is bringing something to the table. And a lot of time in counseling, you're going to be dealing with your own individuals, hangups or whatever they may be that you're dealing with. It could be something from your past. It could be from, you know, childhood or how you were raised or, you know, what you were used to or what you were told when you were younger about what a marriage should be. But when you're dealing with the relationship coach, they're going to make it clear. This, you're in a relationship with someone else. You can't just look at what they're bringing to the table. You have to look within yourself. What are you bringing to? Because we all bring our own baggage. It's just what's in those bags. Are we willing to accept that person for who they are? Are you willing to work together and say, okay, I got bags, you got bags. What did you pack? What did I pack? Then how are we going to make these outfits connect? We can mix and match. We could, but working together is the key point. Being willing, being able to remove yourself and think about the other person. Not always, well, she's hurting my feeling or he's hurting my feeling. Okay. What feelings are being hurt? Is he really hurting them? Or are you really reflecting back on something else? Are you really bringing your true self to the table? A lot of time when people get together in relationship, they meet the representative. And then are you willing to take that mask off and show them the real you? Snatch that wig off and let them see your natural hair. This is me. This is all of me. Are you willing to take me as I am? And then the same thing with your partner. Is he willing to take off his mask? Because men wear masks too. Somewhere along the line, sometimes people get hurt. And I, you know, just like that book I wrote, Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a man hurts from within his soul. And it takes longer for that to heal. And then a woman operates a lot from her mind. Sometimes our minds would build a relationship and the man don't even want one with us. So we have to do our own soul searching and see what bags we're bringing to the table. And then we come together, get a relationship coach if we need one to help us sort out the stuff that's in our bag. Some we're going to keep and some we need to get rid of. But we have to decide within ourselves what's more valuable. And then in order to do that and do it the proper way, you have got to have a relationship with Christ. You got to.
Yeah. So Shirley, if I may, so what would you say to people who, because we understand that divorce rate within the church is just as high as the divorce rate outside of the church. So it leads us to think that, well, is it that simple just to have having a relationship with Christ? Because what we find out that people can often live in their own ideas, in their own mind. And so often when I'm dealing with people, and especially, I mean, you look at Facebook and a lot of time you see different people out there and they're, I mean, it's almost like they're advertising with just blinking light. But I, as a man, when I see women do that, what I literally see most of the time is they're hurt. I see them basically saying, this is what I want. This is what I want a man to have. And immediately I see a box. No real man is willing to walk inside of that because they've already have the woman have already given a preconstructed box I need you to fit into. Well, you'll never get to know me if you're inviting me to come in to fit this box concept that you have. And so I think in addition to knowing Christ, is really knowing yourself, being willing to heal, being willing to understand, don't make this next person pay the price for what someone else has done or what you've experienced there. And so oftentimes, I'd be quite honest with you, I just really want to tell them all that you're doing, you're running really a potential suitor away, because what he sees is he's flashing light. Here's the box. I need you to fit in this box. I need you to be in this box. And see, if I come into a relationship knowing that I'm expected to be in a box, there's no room for my authentic self. There's no room for me to interact with you, because we're meeting you at different stages of your life. And I said that to really kind of respond to, you know, things change over a period of time. The way I thought in my 20s is not the way I thought in my 40s. The way I thought in my 40s is not the way I think in my 50s. And so if you approach a relationship, certainly, you know, we have to look at the fact of what do we see as this thing that we call marriage, this thing that we call relationship. Are we still that person that's living inside of what I call reality TV that paints this picture of everything but reality?
I want to address one of the things you said about, you know, the box, being mm-hmm. in the box. And because I have a thing about men in the window, mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you speak of the box, sometimes women put themselves in a box, put themselves on display, and men get in a window. When they get in the window, there's a window in their life where they're ready to choose a mate. But that window is only open for a small amount of time. And sometime when they choose, when you spoke about the churches and the divorces rate and everything, you got to remember that everybody in the church don't have the church in them. That's another thing.
That's true.
Some people go in there searching. They're going there searching for a mate because they feel like I can get me a church girl. But they're not always into the church. They're looking for a church man too. So you got to look at, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. It's what's inside of you. That's why I say individually, we have to have our own personal relationship with Christ. And so just because you're in the church don't mean that you have it in you. In other words, you're there, you're going through the motion, but are you really connected? Or do you really know who you are? Or are you searching? Are you a lost soul? Because there's so much. That's why I say people need to do some soul searching. And then if you're leaving relationship and going into another one, you need to take the time to get to know you. If you can't stand being alone, who's going to want to be with you? You can't even stand yourself. So you got to get used to being alone sometime. Sometimes people don't realize you have to step back from everything. That means social media, the reality shows, they're not real. They're getting paid to act. But some people take that as serious.
As and literal.
That's why. Exactly. I mean, they think that's life. Oh, I want that life. When that person get off that TV screen, you don't even know what their situation is. Absolutely. You don't know what they're going home to. They may have the money, but are they happy? And it's true. Money can't buy love, but it can sure enough buy fake love or that moment of gratification.
Well, but Dwayne, we haven't heard from you yet.
Oh, yeah, Dwayne.
I have to cut her off. That's my girl, so I can like we do have Mr. Powell sitting right next to you, Mr. Powell. You want to chime in and say a few words since you've heard what we're talking about, and can you kind of elaborate from a man's perspective?
Yeah, I think it's like it's an ongoing process. It just takes work. You got to prove your worth, at least from day to day. So, you know, it just takes work. You know, you just got to work on it, you know. It just takes work.
So, now, I know, Dwayne, you, she's in Michigan and you're in Mississippi. How hard is that, you know, trying to live between two homes and then keep the fire going? Because the topic is after the vows, then what? how important do you think it is to your relationship, especially since you're trying to command from two locations?
Well, it's not bad. I mean, it's there's no difference between here and there. You know, it's just like a carryover. You know, you just keep working at it. Just like people, it's no different from people from here and there. You know, so you keep going at it, working.
You know, I was on a conference call yesterday, and one of the ladies talked about, you know, online dating and how it's not good to do online dating because there's so many predators out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Y'all didn't meet by online dating, but for you, Shirley and Dwayne, you know, suppose you had met someone online and then you were in different locations. I know me, myself, my husband, and I met online and he was in another location and he moved to where I was and he adjusted and adapted his life to where I was, my surroundings and everything. So with you all coming together, running two locations and then dating, what would you say to individuals if they were in that situation where they were on the fence about relocating from one area to the next for the sake of love?
One thing with us, we have two locations, but when I'm here, he's here with me in Michigan. And when he's in Mississippi, I'm there with him. Because of the career path that I chose, I work remotely. And, you know, even though I have an office in my home here and an office away from my home here in Michigan, but I'm still able to work remotely because I can control what goes on. And then I have staff that's at my office here that can do things that when I'm not there, and then the volunteers, because I've taken on another duty by opening the store as well. So you have to be able to be willing to understand that because the distance is there when we were dating, it was like a first date when we got together. So in other words, if we was traveling, we were not traveling together. I would fly into a city and he would fly in and we would schedule our flights to get at the airport at the same time. So when we came in, they said, oh, they're meeting up, you know. But, you know, it was our time together. And we made the best of all the times we had together. Or if I would go visit him, and I would be there for a week or two, whatever. And he would come see me for a week or two. But every night, every morning on the phone together and every night before we went to bed, we were the last person to talk to each other. So, you know, our courtship was for 4 years. We did that. And after 4 years, you know, he said, I'm tired of going to bed alone. So, you know, it was one trip he had made here and he was like, can we just talk? And I was like, okay, what's going on? He said, well, I'm tired of going to bed alone. And I heard this minister say this. And I said, it was kind of strange. He started talking about this bachelor party he went to. And I was like, okay, you never talked about a bachelor party before. And he was telling me about it. He said, marriage is a good thing. And so he was like, I'm just tired of being alone. And I'm like, well, you're not alone. We're together, you know. And he's like, that's when he asked me to marry him. And so if you're thinking about it and you're long distance, it's what you want to put into it. Because it's not easy. Because you have to build a trust there too. And I'm not saying that everything was smooth during our 4 years. But at the end of the day, what do we want? What, you know, where was our heart set? No matter what was going on, we had to find out what we wanted. And right. And then I had to understand that, you know, him being a widower and also a disabled veteran, that he had things that he did, like, you know, going to conventions and things. I've never been to a convention with a lot of vets, but if he supported me in my endeavors, then I had a responsibility to support him in his. Whether I wanted to be there or not, I made it my business to be there and to give him my support, because he gave me his undivine, you know, undeniable support in whatever I was, my endeavors were. And I feel very blessed to have a husband that believes in supporting me in my endeavors, that he works with me, you know, that it's not a push and pull situation, that he likes to go with the flow and he loves to travel. And he know I do too. So we have things in common that we like to do.
Dr. J, I see you smiling.
Well, I'm smiling because it's good when you hear these type stories, because one would say, well, that was an unconventional way of dating, unconventional way of coming together. But what I hear from them both is the fact that it is what you make it. It is what you're willing to invest in. It is what you're willing to do. And it does require a degree of unselfishness on both parts. And I think that is important for people, especially in this day and time. We're living in some very unprecedented times that we're in. And it's amazing to me. On one end, every other day you hear about these people have broken up. They're no longer together. And yet and still haven't become that disposable when we look at folks that said, no, we're going to make it through this. And the ones that choose to make it through it are the ones who does understand the principle of bending but not breaking, understanding compromise, but having that one common centered goal that said, listen, we're in this together. And I just, and I think that's amazing, because when I was listening to Dwayne, what I was interpreting from what he was saying, when he said, well, it wasn't really that hard because the fact there seemed to be a singleness of mind. So whether we're in Michigan or Mississippi, it's the same for us, because there's a singleness of mind. And I think that's important. That's important because people could be living, you know, right together up on the same roof 24/7, 365, but their minds are two different places, and that causes a lot of bump, bruises, and a lot of things to go wrong. So, you know, I smile because of the fact it is good to hear a story of someone's life where that which might look unconventional and could be very difficult is made simpler simply because of them having a oneness of mind.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was great, I know with Shirley and I, was that we had a relationship where we were transparent in our emotions with one another, so that we can communicate that, so we can bring healing to one another. Because there's a lot of women that are broken from past relationships. And because they weren't able to communicate where they hurt, they just buried it, suppressed it, so that when that man came along, they didn't even know how to recognize that it was a good man, because of the fact that they had so much bottled up inside to, you know, there was no freedom, there was no liberty to love. And so it is with the men too. Dwayne, can you elaborate on that? And you, Dr. J, I'd like to hear your perspective from a man's point of view.
Well, it's just, like I say, it's give and take. I mean, you just gotta have your heart in it and be, you know, be as one. It's like teamwork. You know, you just gotta help each other out and you know, just stay the course. And yeah, it's like I say, it's work. You know, you never stop working at it. So,
yeah. Dr. J?
Well, I think, you know, we as men could also have our broken experiences. We can have our disappointments. Mm-hmm. We can have our sense of feeling used. We can have our sense of feeling disrespected. And all those things we either bring into a new prospective relationship, or we take the time to deal with those things beforehand. The danger of not dealing with it is that the fact, once again, you almost enter into something new with all these locks on the door already. Mm. The locks are already on the door. The person doesn't stand a chance to get in because they're greeted by the locks of the time past. And so what we have to make up in our mind, even as men, we have to make up our mind, number one, what is it that we want? And unlike J.C. Wentworth, sometimes we might not want it now. Because we recognize we're not yet at that place now to receive it. But if we are carried away by this fantasy, I want it and I want it now. Are we ready for it now? And sometimes the woman that we may encounter, if she is broken or have any residue of brokenness, are we in a position to accommodate that? Are we in a position to play that part of as a mender? Or do we need to be able to say, look here, I can't handle that right now? Because for men who are fixers, and I'm a fixer, you know, I might need to step back because I don't have the capacity to fix anything right now. Mm. And you'd rather not want it now and not be able to deal with it than to jump into it. And then you realize, I'm not built for this. I can't do this. And I think that men have to be serious with themselves. So it's not a matter of how much of a Mac you are. It's not a matter of how much you're flowing like that. It's a matter of whether you're flowing here, because this has to connect with this. And they have to connect together. We're going to be in a meaningful relationship. Other than that, once again, too many people pay the price of their predecessor. Mm.
So Shirley, how important is it unpacking baggage to go into a relationship? Because at one point you were saying, oh no, Val, I'm done. I'm not getting married again. Forget that. That's not me. I'm not doing it again. And I was like, nah. And we like kind of walked our way through it. You know, like I said, pulling back layers. And a lot of individuals aren't as fortunate to have someone that will speak truth, you know, not just one-sided, right? Speak truth to each other. Yeah. And I mean, we would come out swinging. So, but I think that if you could share how important it is that even if you are in a place where you know you're stuck, how important it is for a shift to occur mentally and emotionally.
It's to me, I would say it's crucial. And when I say spend some time alone, I can't stress that enough to do that. And that's when that time alone is when you get a chance to unpack bags and see what all you have in there. Because when every relationship you go through, whether it's marriage or not, you're putting something in the bag from that relationship. And then you have to go through your bag and see what you need to take out of it. Some relationships are to give you and teach you a lesson. And once you receive that, if you don't need that anymore, get it out of your bag. Because if not, you're going to take it to the next one. And that's when you start unloading your bag in your relationship, somebody can get hurt. So you need your alone time to unpack your bag. And in my situation, I had been married 4 times, twice to one husband. And there was bags I had, and I spent some time alone. When I say alone, I'm not saying isolate. I'm not telling you not to have friends, but you need to unpack your bags. And in order to do that, one thing for me was to become celibate. And I did that for 3 years before I met Dwayne. And it gave me an opportunity to clear my mind, to heal my heart, and to forgive and to let go. Because a lot of times people will say, oh, I'm over that. I'm over this. But if you still got those bags packed, wherever you go, it's still with you. And it hinders you. It blocks your blessing. It blocks your future. It blocks you from growth. And if you're a person that says, I want to give and be free there and have peace in my life, you got to unpack that bag. Unpack that bag for yourself. And if you got someone in your life, like Val and I shared a lot, because I had told her, oh, I'm never getting married again. I'm not doing that again. I'm done. I'm good. You know, and she was like, girl, and then she had her own thing about her bags and stuff. And we just worked with each other. We talked a lot. We talked every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And we saw each other a lot, even though I'm in Michigan, she's down in Florida. But still, we would do the things like travel, meet in other city, other states. You know, if I had something going on, she would come help me. Or if she had something going on, I would come help her. And it built our relationship like we became besties. But when we wasn't besties when we met, don't get it wrong now. She was that sharp little tongue and everything. And I was like, who she think she is? And so, but I liked her spunk. And so it was like, okay, she might be small in size, but she got some spunk. Okay. But I ain't scared of her. So, and you know, and we connected from that point. And it was like, you know, she know I love her dearly. And if I need it and she had it, she got it. The same thing. We didn't have to be ashamed to ask for help, mm-hmm. no matter what it was. And we took, you know, it's like we took an unspoken vow that we would be there for each other, regardless of what our situation was. And we would tell each other if we were wrong in something. And we would stand our ground until the other one's like, okay, you know what? You're right. I do need to look at that. Because we was honest with each other. And so be honest with yourself if you don't have anyone else to be honest with. And know that it's important that you unpack those bags. Can't nobody tell you about how much garbage or mess you got in your bags but you. And you know deep down inside what you got in there. So in order to move forward and be in a healthy relationship, and I don't want anyone to get a misunderstanding that marriage is easy for Dwayne and I. We work at ours. And then when he know my weakness, so he's my strength when I'm weak. When if I feel like, man, I don't know, this is not going right for this situation. And he was like, we're all right. We're good. And he's always like that rock there saying, we're good. And I said, I don't see that. What we got this going on? He said, no, we're good. And I, you know, and sometimes I don't see some of the things. And he would say, we all right. We good. We got this. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny. He's like, you got me and I got you. So he gives me that reassurance. Whenever I get that little doubt going, he'll give me that reassurance and he won't budge. He's quiet, but he's also a quiet giant. So he, you know, he's, like I say, sometimes a man of few words, but when he do speak, he speaks and stands on it. And especially when it comes to our relationship and say, you good, I got you.
That's so powerful because, you know, when you talk about a man of a few words, you know, it's the gravity of the words because of that, you know, yes. So you understand here's a person who observes, you know, they've already taken in consideration. So by the time you come with your, whatever your fears may be of your concern, he's already assessed the situation and said, no, we're good. And that's important because some people think communication is always chatter, 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 but communication is also equally being observant, mm-hmm. listening, you know, and being what I like to call present.
Being
present is so important inside of all these things there. And I think I'm encouraged after hearing this. I'm encouraged because of the fact I'm probably just the opposite. I'm more of a talker and everything, but I do understand the weight of my words. And I also understand the power of reassurance. And I think that is needed throughout relationships, the power of reassurance. You know, how do I reassure you? and not to look at reassurance as being a nag. Well, I got to keep on reassuring you. I have to keep on reassuring you. I'm going to keep reassuring you as much as I have to and as many times as I need to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, we talked about that on the last two shows, Dr. Thicklin, where they was talking about that men need validation too.
Right.
You know, it's not always the woman. You know, a man likes to know that you still find them attractive. He needs to know that you appreciate what they do. He needs to know that, okay, your hair getting gray, you're moving a little slow, you're still good. So, you know, those things are important, vice versa. It can't just be lopsided in.
Right.
That's what it means. That after the vows, then what? It means that you grow from there. You don't just stop saying, because, you know, people thinking it's going to be a honeymoon forever. You know, walk down the aisles and you don't spend all that money on the flowers and the cake and the guests, and everybody went home and they told my child she had a good wedding. Oh, he didn't they dance? Oh, they took some nice pictures. And then they get in that house and tear each other apart. Okay. So we need to make sure that that same thing you did to keep them, that you keep it going even after the vows.
Yes.
Right.
In order for that to happen, I think people have to stop looking at marriage as a destination.
It's right. A wow.
It's a journey. Because a destination means that we have arrived. No, I believe marriage is that journey that is always evolving. It's always becoming. And I think that when we give each other collectively the permission to continue to evolve, then that means that guess what? I'm in it for the journey. In it for the journey. And we have to be able to do that and not necessarily get distracted looking at other people's journey. You know, some of the biggest fights that I've seen happen with couples is that they was looking at the other folks around them and did not understand that the situation wasn't the same.
Right.
You know, you might have got married at two different phases in your life. They got married when they were in their 30s. Well, we got married when we were in our 50s. You know, they had children together. Well, we did not. All of those things and those dynamics could change the way that people operate. That's right. Why the journey is so important, because we're going to get there, right? We're not trying to cross a finish line. We are continuing on with this journey, and this journey takes us where we need to do, where we want to go. We may not even know where we're going, but we know we'll get there together.
Right.
That's right.
And my question to the three of you is, how important is that family tie or bond or relationship once you've committed to that person or married to that person? Because sometimes you hear from a woman's side or a man's side saying, oh, since they got married, we don't see them, or this one is controlling, they don't come and visit no more because of this and that. How important do you think that is to the relationship and keeping your whole as a cell, as a group? And Dr. J, you can speak from this perspective too, because you've been married, and I know there were some challenges there trying to balance family. So how important is that?
You want Dr. J to go first or us?
You're our guest. Go ahead.
Okay. With us, you know, it's our immediate family is important, which is, you know, I have three sons and 9 grandchildren. That's our number one priority. Mm-hmm. And because when you start trying to include all family, somebody's going to get left out, or someone is not going to get as much time as you gave the other one, and then you got conflict. We try to keep our conflict down by taking care of our immediate family and spending time with them, but still spending some time with our extended families as well. So I came from a large family. Dwayne's family is not that large. So we get together on occasions and things, but we reach out, we do like, you know, conference calls, text or Zoom or something like that when we can't get together. Especially, that's one thing we've learned since the pandemic, is other ways to communicate and reach out and stay in contact. he does a lot of group texts with his siblings, and I get phone calls from mine because I'm the only sister left in our group, and I have six brothers. So we hear from each other, we reach out, and once we talk to one, we go, okay, did you talk to so-and-so, so-and-so? And we kind of pass, it has like a chain. And then we try to get together at least once a year, at least that we all come together and do something together, even if it's just a cookout. But we still get to visit one another. So our communication with our extended family, which is my siblings and his siblings and nieces and nephews and things, we don't get deep dive into the cousins and others. You know, my aunts and things are pretty much, they're all gone. They passed on. So it's just my generation and younger. And then there's a family reunion, and that's what we do with ours. But, you know, we do things like even take vacation together. Like we just did our anniversary trip. His sister and her husband went, and my brother and his wife went. So we kind of blend the two families together, do one, you know, one trip, both sides. And so, and then those two will go back and share with them. Oh, they're doing fine. We all were together, you know, and they're pretty good with that. Have you had any conflict with them?
No.
No. No conflict. We're good.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah.
Dr. J?
I'm sitting here pondering my mind because of the fact that I have to kind of review a few marriages here. What I will say is this. I'm very deep, strongly family. I am. That's
very much so.
That's my nucleus inside of that. So family is extremely important to me. And generally, it always starts off as that is one of the things that attracted the person to me. Your love for family, your love for your family, your love for your children. But I do think to a certain degree, family, different situation. When it comes to your relationship, family sometimes need to be on a need to know basis.
Right.
On a need to know basis.
Right.
You can't always turn your family members into Dr. Fields or Ayana. You can't always do that because of the fact proximity. Everyone is not able to be impartial. And so there are times that you can have family members that will aid me and you, and you could be dead wrong, that will continue to side with you. And it gives you this false sense that you're right. But, you know, you have to be able to be honest with yourself. I recall, God rest her soul, me having to really have an honest moment with myself. And when my mother was living, you know, she was just going on because of the things she had heard. You know, I was saying, well, she did this and she did that. And so guess what? The family members picked up that same language. They picked it up. And so guess they would immediately harp on that. But when I had my epiphany, when I had my come to Jesus revelation, and I had to start saying, no, this is what I need to own, and this is what I want to own, I had to stop them in their tracks and hold up. Hold it. Nope. I know this is what I said, but this is also the part I need to tell you that I played inside of it. So the cause and the effect, I had a lot to do with it. And it was almost, I mean, although they like, but they still kept trying to defend what I had told them before. I literally had to become naked enough to say, no, I own this. But I said that to say this is because of the fact, if you can avoid the mistake of getting family too involved, once again, it's a need to know basis. There are certain things that we need to be able to figure out on what I call this level here. Inside of that. And I do believe that that's important. I do also believe that going back to the earlier statement that I think Shirley talked about when she was talking about relationship coach and counseling, I think it's important that people understand that too often that we look at needing a coach or even a counselor that we think they're needed only when there's a problem. Only when there's a problem. No.
Right.
You know, Robert F. Kennedy's famous quote was, the best time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining. Mm-hmm. You don't wait till it start raining to repair the roof. And so when we understand, I come into this relationship, I might need some tools, some mindset, some changes, because I've only dealt with the tools that I've dealt with. And if I keep ending up with the same results, I might want to examine my tools, because if the only tool that I have in my toolbox is a hammer, then every situation looks like a nail to me. And I'm just bamming everything. Bam, 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 bam. In this situation, in this relationship, didn't need a hammer. It just simply needed a screwdriver. Maybe I need to tighten some things.
Right. That makes sense. I like that.
And so get the help. Be willing to. But don't always involve family members, especially inside of, you know, advice. You know, sometimes we have to understand we need our time, and family members need to understand that we need our me time. We are still getting to know each other. We're still, you know, we're still growing together. And so I say to family members, you have to be patient and not be selfish, because guess what? After all, the two shall become one, not you.
Right.
They'll become one.
How does children come into play in a relationship?
I almost think that's addressed to me.
Well, my, you know, my children are grown, and I, you know, with mine, they love Dwayne. I, you know, I, they gravitated to him immediately. It's just something about him, and him the same way with them. When you see them together, you think they're buddies, because if you see him with my oldest son, they, I come in the room and they're sitting chilling like two old army buddies. And my son never been in the army, and they have the highest respect for him. They call him Mr. Dwayne. They're not, you know, even though they're in their 30s and 40s, but they put a handle on his name, Mr. Dwayne. And so he sits and talk with them. And I was like, sometime they will be outside, especially in the summertime, all of them sitting around just talking and laughing. I was like, what they got going on out there? And, you know, but it's good to see that, you know, and it was nice to see, and I should have recorded it. I just celebrated a birthday, and I had three men in the kitchen cooking together.
Awesome.
You know, my middle son was cooking a pasta dish, a shrimp pasta. My oldest son was doing jumbo crab legs, and Dwayne was doing the vegetables. So they're all three in there cooking. Dwayne bought the dessert. So I'm sitting back watching them. He said, okay, you got that. Give me this pot. I need this. And I didn't even think, I should have recorded all of that. But they all talked on the phone and got it together.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, children are important. And I think the thing about it is the communication. I keep going back. It does matter the age of the children when you get together, because there's certain time that the children still need certain attention. And, and in that case, the partner has to understand that. How do I become involved? You know, I think I could write the book and dealing with not only being a step parent, and I don't like that term, but how do we make this one? You know, the blended family, we call it blend. But I believe that that family could be seamless with the right understanding inside of it. And so I know in my past relationship, marriage, the kids still love me today. Those that was not birthed by me, I'm always called by them, Pop, a dad. I just got an invitation from one of them who's going to be getting married. He proposed to his girl on the other day. And not only did he make me aware and tell me, but his father called me and said, hey, look, hey, we got to get the list together for the wedding. And he said, first he said, hey, you was their dad too. And those type of relationship doesn't just happen. Those are considered effort. It's knowing boundaries. It's also
knowing what you need to do.
You know, you don't need to be everything to every child. Depends on where they are. Sometimes they don't need to be re-raised. They might just need your wisdom, your encouragement, your type thing there. And I always tell people, when children are involved in relationships, especially when they're young, you have to decide what is the role that the other parent, the non-biological parent, is going to play. And that's important, because you can't force feed your partner on your children. It has to be an introduction. And it can't start with saying, well, hey, ain't nobody grown in this house with us. You don't know. That's not the right approach. Because rules without relationship equals rebellion.
Right.
You have to be, right. build the relationship. And if you do, although Shirley talked about her kids being grown, but that's a testament, especially for men to get together and men to have that type of respect, you know, for moms to husbands. So that speaks a lot in saying that, right? With some respect in the name, okay?
Yeah, I know my kids are the same with Alex, my husband. So, and I mean, sometimes they'll call and ask him something besides asking me. I'll say such and such went on. They say, "We're not talking to you, Mom. We're talking to Miss Alex." Now I go, "Excuse me." So,
and that's good.
And they're grown, and you know, and they're grown. So, you know, they don't have the final say, but it would be nice if it's able to build a relationship so that things could go with flow better.
Yes.
You know, Dr. Val, you know, inside of it, just this past weekend, I eulogized my mother-in-law. I don't call her former mother-in-law. And the bond that I had with her started long before I ever met her daughter. And yet it's still within that family. They all have always embraced me. We've always loved each other. And that's always been the case. And one of the most assuring factor that I didn't feel awkward, because regardless of the fact of divorce, the kids and all of us still had a very solid relationship and a solid respect. And it just goes to show you that inside of things, sometimes people are a little bit more understanding than you think they are. And there are times when people understand the real elements that makes relationship what they are. So it's good to be able to have a house of peace, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's good to communicate your expectations as it relates to children, rather they're young or old. You have to, like Shirley said, have some boundaries. You have to be able to communicate so that everybody will know where everyone stands. But at the ultimate thing, it is your relationship. And that's you want to keep each other happy. Absolutely. As individuals, the male and the female. Everything else is secondary.
That's right.
That's right.
Any closing remarks? I'm so glad that you dropped by to join Hot Topics from the Soul today.
Oh, you know what? I've been planning on dropping in on you. And it's just like, this has been good to see both of you guys. You know, it's just taking me back to the days past that when we were all together. And usually, you know, that hottest month was February.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, it's good to
See. Yeah, so you know what? You know, the viewing audience and listening audience, this is Shirley. We did how many years together on Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah. About 9 years.
Yeah, we were doing, if it was 9 years, that was a long
time. 9 years we did Blog Talk. Wow.
It was, every week, it was just an amazing journey. We had so many fabulous guests on with us. And then, you know, we both got married and she talked about how we used to talk every day and all through the day. I barely talk to Shirley, maybe once every 3 to 6 months now. She got Dwayne.
Well, you know, when you got Dwayne and you got 9 grand and you run an entertainment company, you have a nonprofit, and now you just open up a retail store in your mall here. And not to mention my other responsibility.
Oh, I have a client for you too.
Okay.
Alex's son, Jacquard, he is phenomenal. I need you to connect with him and get him on the circuit.
Okay. Well, you got my contact information. Please share it with him.
Okay.
I've got some fabulous things coming up. I mean,
I keep forgetting about the people and the contact, everybody I know. You know, Alex is always saying, "Babe, you know a lot of people." And I'm like, yeah, you know, but you don't think about it until you're actually doing something. So, I'll make sure that you get that information so you can kind of do that for me. And Dr. J, do you have any closing remarks?
My closing remark is this. I do believe that I will never give up on love. I do believe that people should never give up on love or relationships. I do believe that people must have the courage to be able to examine themselves, not to get stuck at where their last failure was,
yes,
but have the courage to move forward to the new beginnings.
New beginnings. Yeah.
Yes.
Dwayne, did you just say something?
I said, I agree with it. I disagree with him. New beginnings.
Okay. Go ahead, Dwayne. That's my friend.
Yeah, that's your buddy.
Well, I love you all, and thank you so much for joining us on another Hot Topics from the Soul. If the show has been a blessing, share it with someone and make sure that you visit the website. Shirley, is there a website or contact information that you want to give out to our listening audience, please?
Yes, yeah. I want them to visit my website, which is againstalloddsfoundation.com. And there they will see my nonprofit as well as my new retail store. Well, freetail store.
Freetail.
So, yes. You know, it's a store to help those families in need. Everything in the store is free. So they get a private shopping experience for 30 minutes. They get to just take whatever they need, from clothing to shoes to coats to household wear, personal care, and, you know, personal hygiene and everything. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining Shirley and Dwayne Powell. Good night and God bless.
Good night. God bless you too. Good night, Jay.
All right. Okay. It's been great.
Dr. J, this has been an awesome show. We've been able to catch up and speak to some friends. It's been absolutely amazing. You have any further comments or anything you want to share with our listening audience tonight?
Well, I want to continue to tune in because we've had some interesting topics, some interesting guests. And I really want to emphasize that I speak from a place that, you know, too often we give up. And we give up, meaning that we simply give up. We give up a desire. We give up an opportunity. We give up even a mindset to believe that we can. And we cannot rest on our last failure. We must have the power to begin again. And I believe that's important. And I believe that we have to be able to work on ourselves so that we'll be able to finish this course called relationship. Because, listen, we can do it if we're willing to make the sacrifice. But for the time that we've lost, it can be redeemed, but it's more speedily redeemed when we're willing to do the work and once again have the hope and have the faith and the belief to be better than what we were before.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for those closing remarks and the website people can follow you.
www.jrthicklin.com.
And make sure that you visit www.thesoulofawoman.com, and please subscribe to Hot Topics from the Soul on YouTube. Good night and God bless. Thank you for joining us. Until next Tuesday.
Good night.